grass, ganja, joint, doobie, do, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in. Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
And we got Chris over the phone today, aren't you?
I am. Kia ora, Millie.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
Very well. Very well. Enjoying the hospitality of West Auckland at the moment.
Oh, it must be beautiful out there. It's a lovely day in here.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And could I just say, even better when it's legal, because today's World Mental Health Day, and one of the very common side effects of cannabis laws is creating anxiety, paranoia, depression, mm-hmm. needless worry, you know, among people that use cannabis or who are otherwise afraid or concerned about being caught and having their life being thrown upside down by conviction and prosecution and things. And I've got to say, from personal experience and from talking to people all day, every day about this, when people go legal, they feel the weight lift from their shoulders.
It must be such a relief. And I mean, yeah, it's pretty hard to live in the dark.
It is. It is. So, hey, World Mental Health Day today. So, you know, thoughts and feelings to everyone who's out there struggling. But if you want to make a booking and get your prescription, then all you have to do is Google Cannabis Doctor NZ and they all come up. That's what I do. But if you want to come down to the hemp store tomorrow, we have a doctor. And now, we have this every Friday and Saturday, but slightly different this week. And in that the hours have slightly changed. Mm-hmm. It's 10 to 3 tomorrow. If anyone's planning on coming in, come in early. Come in at 10 a.m.
Okay.
10 to 3. And on Saturday, unfortunately, due to a shortage of doctors, we're just doing pickups for prepaid repeats on Saturday. So don't come in for a new script on Saturday. But the reason I'm saying all this is because the Herald, a few days ago, managed to get data out of the government that no one else has actually managed so far. And people in the medical cannabis industry and consumer advocates and things have been trying to find out how many people are actually legal now. How many people are actually getting prescriptions. And so far, the Ministry of Health has told me and others in writing that they don't keep this data and that they don't know how many people are getting it, and all they can tell is how many prescriptions are issued. And of course, you've got to keep repeating your prescriptions, right? So getting just a number of prescriptions, it doesn't really tell you how many people. Well, turns out they do actually keep that data, and they've just released it to the Herald. And it's quite interesting. So prescriptions doubled over the last year. The most common are insomnia, anxiety, and pain, and then other things like epilepsy and just, you know, dozens of different conditions. But those top three, that's certainly my experience too, that those are the most common things people talk about. That's what's coming through in the prescriptions. It's more men than women, which is kind of interesting. Maybe cannabis is like that anyway, I'm not sure, but yeah, that's kind of interesting. More prevalent the further north you go, and less prevalent down south. Biggest age group, or most common age group, was people in their 30s, and then people in their 40s, then people in their 50s, then people in their 60s. But actually, you know, because some people who are anti it might have said, oh, it's going to be all the young, the youth, the teens, and they're going to access it. Well, turns out they're not. We did talk the other day that 500 people under 16 had prescriptions for cannabis in the last year, but this is dwarfed, you know, by the other age groups. And in fact, I've got the actual data here. More people aged over 70 were prescribed cannabis, 14,000 last year, compared to people under 20, which was just 1,200.
Wow.
This is total prescriptions, sorry. Even I get confused between it. But basically, what you've got is 108,000 prescriptions. When the medical cannabis scheme started, but only 2 years ago, it was about 22,000 scripts. Now it's 100,000, and it's 35,000 people. That's the key figure that we haven't had so far. How many people did it take to get those 108,000 prescriptions? So 35,000, so getting three each per year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of interesting, because if you're on CBD, you would need at least 4 scripts a year, because you can get up to a 3-month supply at once. If you are on THC, you get a month's worth at a time. So what I'm a little bit unclear is are they just counting these single months? And it seems like they are. So 35,000 people get 100,000 prescriptions. What that suggests to me, because they're not getting every month, they're not getting 12 each. So what that suggests to me is it's either really effective and it's curing them or whatever, and they don't have to go on it, they don't have to stay on it for very long, or there was a big spurt towards the end of that period, which could have accounted for that, or there's a bunch of people who are just getting one script and kind of using it for legal protection.
Yeah. I'd say, yeah, it could be a combination of all of them. It's interesting that, you know, they've left it up to us to kind of scour through the data and make sense of it, as opposed to just a very clear report.
Yeah, and interesting that they wouldn't give this data to people who are in the industry and are patient advocates, and including an Official Information Act request. But when the media asks for it, somehow they get it.
Hmm.
Oh, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, we won't dwell on that too much. The message is the important thing. The Herald talked to a few patients in there about why they were using it, and what was coming through was it was better quality. That was letting them use less, and it took away the stigma of it, so they could have open and honest conversations and that mental health aspect as well.
And there you go. That's the best outcome we could wish for. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, great stuff.
They also talked... Oh, pardon?
Good stuff, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. Just one last thing on that. They talked to Marta Reichardt, who's at Massey Uni, cannabis researcher there, and they asked her, well, who's kind of not accessing it? And she was saying, well, it's most likely to be those on low incomes, people who grow their own at home, and Māori. And and that is true. They actually did a breakdown on by ethnicity, and Māori are underrepresented in the prescriptions.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too. And whether that's a distrust of the medical system, or, you know, always being treated like you're kind of at the bottom and not being treated fairly, or whether it's a funding, you know, a money thing. But, you know, I think that's something that the government should be really looking at. Why are Māori underrepresented when it comes to legal access to cannabis, when they're overrepresented with arrests?
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got the worst case scenario there, where they're getting arrested at a higher rate and then getting lower rates of legal access.
It's something interesting to look into.
Hopefully Shane Retty's listening.
Hopefully he will.
I'm sure he is.
I used to interview him.
Yeah.
Listen in, man.
Speaking of someone else from Whangarei, which is Brian Borland. And this was in the Northern Advocate this week. Brian Borland has been sent back to prison after his 10th cannabis conviction. We talked about him a couple of months ago, I think, when the trial was on. And he had stood before the jury on defending himself, and he had said, well, you've got no option but to find me guilty and send me to jail.
Yeah.
And which is what kind of made the headline. Now, I've known Brian for a long time, and he is a man of his convictions. And what he's doing is what's known as the roaring lion defence, which is where you tell the court you can't cooperate with any punishment, and therefore jail him or set him free. That's the bit I think they missed out on the reporting. Brian wasn't saying, hey, the only thing you can do is send me to jail. He was actually saying, well, you could just let me go.
He did give them an option.
Yeah, or you could spend a whole lot of money on a pointless imprisonment that won't change his behaviour or attitude or anything. Or they could just set him free. And unfortunately, they didn't. They didn't set him free. And in fact, he's been jailed for 18 months. And the judge, Judge Rzbecki, Rzbecki judge. he said it was hard to take him seriously, unfortunately, and it seems like he got his nose put out that he thought Brian was kind of wasting his time. What this was about was Brian had been caught growing cannabis at a couple of places. He'd actually set up a company called Roaring Lion Canna Enterprises. He was selling over Facebook, and he was, he was saying he was intending to pay tax on it, and he had actually registered with the IRD, I believe, to do that. The Crown wanted a starting point of 5 years. The judge, and full respect to Rzbecki for this, said people are almost killed and don't get that sort of sentence.
Yeah.
And then the Crown said, well, hey, the government thinks this is pretty bad, you know. Aren't you listening to the media? This type of offending, you know, come on. Again, the judge said, I don't think so. So he wasn't taking the kind of crap that the Crown prosecutors were throwing at him.
Yeah.
And he gave Brian an opportunity to read out a statement, and he said, well, hey, 800,000 cannabis users in New Zealand, and as we've just heard with that, the medical access, mm-hmm. only 6% are actually getting it legally, maybe even less. And as Brian said, he actually went to Parliament over this. They ignored him. And he told the court, well, I believe jail is to protect the public, and I'd like an explanation of the danger I impose.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because, you know, you hear of the cases in New Zealand, and it shouldn't have so much to do with kind of the judges or the prosecutor's kind of attitude towards the person in question, you know?
Yes.
But it does play a massive part.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know if he actually got an answer to that. You know, what is the danger he's imposing? And, you know, he did say, I am the only victim.
Yep.
And you'd have to agree with that. There's no actual complainant. There was no one complaining about Brian selling his cannabis, you know, other than the Crown.
There you go. Who is the victim?
Yeah.
A victimless crime.
Yeah. So, Brian, if you're listening, kia kaha, bro, and we'll see you when you get out.
Yeah, good on you,
and,
Brian.
And hopefully that won't be too far.
Hopefully. 18 is a long time to be in there, 18 months.
It is. Yeah. He'll serve, I think, half that or something, but yeah, hopefully less. But yeah, given that he's unrepentant, he gets that held against him when it comes to parole too. And it's actually not that unusual. I actually had a guy come into the shop this week, and he was, you know, getting a script and had a script on that, and he kind of let known that, you know, he had a bit of a history. And I said, oh, what had happened there? And he said, oh, I've been to jail for it. And I was kind of like, oh, what was that for? Oh, possession. Did you get other? No. So it was a fifth possession charge, and they sentenced him to 2 weeks in prison. And that's all he'd have is five possession charges, no dealing, and this guy was jailed.
That sucks.
Yeah, he was just like a ordinary non-criminal type.
So
it does happen. It does still happen. And that's why we've got to change the law.
Exactly.
Now, next one. We've got some positive news.
Let's get on the good news.
Well, the first one was good. This is kind of good, I guess, in that it's a bit more of a I told you so, and this is for driving, in that the government keeps saying, well, we've got to bring in these drug driving laws and that, because cannabis is exactly the same as alcohol, or even riskier, according to Simeon Brown. And he keeps singling out cannabis in his things, in his statements and that, and ignoring other things. It turns out, though, there are a couple of similarities, but there's some huge differences. And this came out of University of Iowa. They got people to consume alcohol, cannabis, or placebo, and they put them... It was a simulator of highway driving, so it wasn't actually on the road, but it was a simulator thing. What they found was the cannabis consumers slowed right down and compensated for their driving behaviour, while those under the influence of alcohol became more reckless in what they were doing. So both groups had a bit of lane weaving. That did happen in both groups. We've got to be clear about that. So cannabis was doing that as well as alcohol. The difference was the cannabis drivers slowed down to compensate for it. They were more self-aware. They slowed down and paid more attention. The alcohol drivers sped up. The alcohol drivers actually spent about 40% of their time going at least 10 k's over the limit, the speed limit. So not just a little bit of speeding, but a lot of speeding.
Certainly food for thought with those new laws coming into effect.
Yeah, and it just shows, you know, it's a bit more nuanced than just saying drugs are bad, and we've got to ban them, but actually maybe not.
Well, that is good news. I mean, in some ways.
Yeah, well, it's more evidence supporting that what they're doing is wrong.
Good to know that some people
is that good news? I'm not sure.
are looking into it as well.
Yeah.
This last story is my favourite.
I love this one
potentially
too, and particularly
evil.
Suitable for on the radio. This is another new study. This came out of Toronto University in Canada. Researchers found marijuana enhances the enjoyment of music.
Who knew?
Confirming what every stoner already knows.
Exactly.
So this was actually, and the key conclusion was, in their exact quote, the impact of cannabis on the auditory experience may be overall enhanced.
Is really interesting because, you know, there's a lot of people out there who say, you know, music is my therapy. So,
yes.
Yeah. I mean, if it can help
they
you keep
actually found among people who like to get high, listening was their most popular activity that they did most of the time.
Well.
Listening to music. Mm. Oh. They found that most people that thought they had improved hearing or sensitivity. Some people said they had a bit less.
I could do with but, that.
Yeah. But here's a good quote from one guy, one of the respondents. When I'm not high, I just don't pay enough attention to the music. It's like background noise. Compared to when I'm high, it's like that's the only thing I'm focused on.
Well, good on him. What's coming up, Chris, on the horizon?
Well, so we've got the doctors in the shop tomorrow, and just to reiterate, it's 10 to 3 tomorrow at the hemp store, so if you want to come in and get your prescription. We normally do 12 to 4.20, but tomorrow just is a bit different, 10 to 3. I'm picking that period between 10 and 12 might be quite quiet, so if you want to get one, come on in then.
Yeah.
And Saturday they're just doing pickups only for prearranged repeats.
Cool.
Seeing our doctors down at the hemp store, it's only $30. So
yes.
Nice and cheap. And that's the whole point, is to try and increase access and remove those barriers. And financial is kind of like the main barrier for people. So we can make it as cheap as possible. That's a bloody good thing. Whakamana Cannabis Museum's open every day now. And Auckland J-Day is coming up. It's actually not too far away. Saturday, 7th of December.
It's close.
I'm deep organising it at the moment. I've booked the Portaloos, everyone. You can relax.
Yay!
We will have Portaloos.
Oh, you're a lifesaver, Chris.
That's right. And some security to keep us safe and some cleaning up of people to keep the park tidy. We're all booked in. So, yeah, that's going to be great. That's going to be great. We'll have the lineup sorted out in the next couple of weeks, and we'll drip feed that in a similar way to Laneway. It might not be quite so impressive, but still impressive in its own way.
I think it'll be culturally significant.
That's right. And marijuana enhances enjoyment of music.
There you go.
It's confirmed in the study, and J-Day is the ideal place to do that.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Chris. Have a great week out there. And
right, you too.
Yeah, that was Marijuana Media.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to The Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm in love with Mary Jane.